Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are awaiting D'Amico Ryans getting ready to address the media here on a Reaction Tuesday. John Lopez, Reginald Antula, Figgy Fig here hanging out with you. And Lopez, I've been kind of, obviously I was saluted Danielle Hunter for reaching the 100 career sacks mark. And someone on the text line has taken issue with that just because they felt like, hey man, the defensive line, they gave up a whole bunch of yards. I do think that there were instances where those rushers were going too deep, like their pass rush was too deep, but I thought those were more on passing downs. If we're talking about the run game, I'm more thinking about the interior D-line and really the linebacker staying at depth and not triggering and getting upfield nearly in the ways that it feels like they do historically. You think I'm right there, or are you maybe more in line with Texter?
No, I'm not necessarily fully in line with what he said, but it does make sense, and it does add in. I was pointing out to you in the press box midway through the second quarter, you know, the linebacker depth all of a sudden got a little deeper because the Baker Mayfield and their script and their first quarter passing game and the play action kind of had them thinking a little bit on their heels. So there was that, you know, the linebacker depth and coming up. There was the interior defensive line. And I think a lot of times the ends, as awesome as they were, Neil Hunter and Will Anderson, they're running themselves up the field a little bit too much. And that was a big time, you know, factor in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it felt like they, like maybe D'Amico and Matt Burke made the decision of
go get him.
Late in the game, we're just letting you go get him. And then that really
And then
bit
what was
them,
Baker Mayfield
where
doing?
Baker starts finding those seams to run at. I honestly do wonder if that was a conscious decision by the coaching staff to try and just let those guys go, and it ultimately bit them into Keister.
I agree.
Either way, it's very much problematic, and it's something that needs to be fixed because you can't afford to have quarterbacks being able to just run up on you and pick up yards like that, especially like on a 4th and 10 that happened there.
No question about it. This defense is, you know, we talked about, you know, what's most frustrating. That's why the defense was really frustrating to me. Just because that was the most unexpected thing, you know, you could have had. I mean, we're talking even in against the Rams, you know, like, okay, they played well enough to win. The defense did not play well enough to win yesterday.
No, they had opportunities to win it with a few singular plays on top of all of the things that we were talking about. They ultimately didn't end up coming through in that way. We're obviously about to hear from D'Amico. Him as head coach, because we're talking about him in kind of the defense coordinator position, and I know that him as head coach ends up being a huge talking point of late. What were your thoughts on him there? Because there was a few decisions that he made that people questioned, including going forward on that fourth down when you couldn't get in on the zone run, and then that double move to Nico Collins. Would you have kicked it? Did you have any issue with him deciding to go with his offense and try and punch it in on fourth down?
Not to waffle, because I absolutely, you know, admired the aggression. But it's retrospect. In retrospect, that field goal would have been enormous, you know, potentially enough to win the game. That's where I am. And I think that's one of those where you really do. It's more second guessing than anything. You know, first guessing is when you feel, all right, he should do it, he shouldn't do it. And I felt pretty good with it as it happened.
I think I'm with you there. Yeah. I think it's more frustrating that you end up in a situation where you can't get that in. And especially, you never give any look like you might run the football. You're in shotgun. You give them an opportunity
to
stay back. And on top of that, You have this sprint out and cut the field in half, but also I think there's even a way where you can maybe do that, but you should have someone leak out to the other side so that if CJ needs to, there's someone across the field. It's not always the most advantageous look, but if you're running the defense one way, leak it out to the other way. I don't know. That might be one of the things that D'Amico Ryans is asked about as he speaks to the media. Let's hear that now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miguel.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Now that you've reviewed the tape and some of the players were talking in the locker room about tackling, and obviously you coach tackling, you have pursuit drills, you all those things. What do you do to reinforce when guys that normally make tackles are missing tackles? Thank you.
And for us, as we look back at the tape and see, you know, tackling was the key issue for us. And I felt like we tackled really well the first week. It hasn't changed on how you tackle. It always starts with me first and foremost with, hey, one, it's the want to, right? It's putting yourself in position and wanting to get the guy down. You want to get him down bad enough, you'll get him down. Then it comes to technique. Like, are you wrapping and squeezing and taking the guy down to the ground, or are we just throwing a shoulder out there? And a couple times that's what happened. We're just throwing a shoulder thinking we're just going to knock a guy down, which is not the case, knowing the type of runner that Bucky Irvin was. Really great contact balance. And that's something we talked about all week, how good of a player he was on initial contact and how it would take everyone swarming, wrapping him up to get him down. And we didn't do that. So that led to a lot of plays, especially there late on the drive. Even we're there to tackle Baker Mayfield, right? We don't make the tackle, all right, and go to the back. We don't make the tackle on the back a couple times, and that gets them further down the field, right, on that last series. It's nothing grand that they did. They made plays. We didn't tackle well. We didn't make the plays that we are supposed to make.
Hey, Meek. To that point as well, like, are you able with the rules in the NFL to work on tackling, or do you just have to preach it? Like, or can you actually practice it?
Yeah, great question, Will. We do work. We work tackling. We put the pad. You get an opportunity to put the pads on once a week. And every time we have the pads on, we're working tackling. We're emphasizing tackling on special teams and also in our defensive drills. We have different tackling stations that we're working. And it's an emphasis as we are in practice and that one time a week that we do have pads on, it's always, you know, emphasized to the guys to make sure we're securing, wrapping the ball carry and allow, and then let him go and let him finish.
D'Amico, good afternoon. Did you expect the struggles like this for the offense this early, being that it was new under Nick Caley? Or are these struggles far greater than what you expected?
Yeah, for what we're doing offensively, defensively, man, we're not far away. So I'm not in the mode of where, hey, it's doom and gloom. Like, we're not far away. We're close. I think we made a lot of strides in this game. On yesterday, we did a lot of positive things that we did well. Of course, there are always things, issues, and things you can correct, but it's not far off. Right? We got to make the plays we're supposed to make. But we're pressing forward. I mean, we're looking forward to Jacksonville to see how we can clean this thing up and get it moving.
Next, we'll go to Sarge, Landry, and then Cody.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Hey, good afternoon.
One of the positive things that came out of the game last night was that Danielle Hunter recorded his 100th sack. I think he became the 15th player to do that in 136 games. Can you just talk about the effectiveness that Danielle has had, not only on the field, but off the field as well, as far as the players are concerned?
Yeah, Danielle is, first off, congratulations to him, right, to reach such an incredible feat. It's an honor just to be working alongside him, right, and seeing how he works at his craft every day. He's a special man, special young man, and I'm thankful to be around him. He does a really good job of just playing with the relentless motor, as you saw in the game. He gave us a chance by getting after the quarterback, beating his man, rushing with extension, doing the things that we asked about, making plays on the screen. He was all over the field, right? And I'm proud of him for this accomplishment. And he does a really great job, Sarge, you said, not only on the field but off the field. Like, his communication, his rapport with the guys in the locker room, he's a guy that a lot of guys lean on and they look up to just for how he carries himself. And so I'm thankful to have him on our team, thankful that he's a Houston guy, and being here in Houston means a lot to him. So it's always great coaching a guy like that.
Thank you.
Landry, go ahead.
Coach, with the offensive line, what are some ways that the offensive line can be helped, whether it's players that are not offensive linemen or coaches, to help make sure that blocks get picked up or plays are able to be executed instead of just relying on the offensive line to block the guy in front of them?
All right. So first and foremost, if you're offensive lineman, you have to block the guy in front of you. There's nothing nobody can do to help you with that. It's the NFL. So got to start there, Landry. You got to block the guy in front of you. Nobody's helping with that. And a couple plays on, we talk about protection and what happened in the game. A couple plays, we got beat. We just got beat one-on-one. A guard, we got beat one-on-one on the edge as well versus a blitzer. So in the NFL, and for me, and what I teach is, like, if you want to win games, you have to dominate your one-on-one. Everybody in every game, you're going to be left in a one-on-one matchup, whatever that looks like, offensively, defensively, special teams. That's what the NFL is about, winning your one-on-one. And the guys who win those one-on-ones consistently are the better players in the NFL. So just, you got to dominate your one-on-one.
D'Amico, have you noticed any hesitancy from C.J. Stroud to maybe take what he's seeing out there at the quarterback spot, maybe a little bit of a gun-shy nature from what he has done when he's been successful?
Yeah, overall, Cody, offensively, for offense, just all 11 guys, it's C.J., it's receivers, it's everybody. You got to play better, right? And C.J. knows that he has to play better. There were some plays that we left out there that I know he can make. Right, when it comes to some throws, come to some decision making, things that he can make and do better. And that's for all of us. We're all in this together. We all have things to clean up, and nobody's excluded from that. Right. It's a team first mentality. We're gonna stay a team. But for us to take the strides we wanna take and press forward, all of us have to look internally and we have to get better.
Next we'll go to Kim, Cole, and then Aaron.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. How do you balance, you know, you talk about how you're not that far away, but also with a sense of urgency to correct some of these things, these little things that become big problems. How do you balance that? I know it's early, but how do you balance that?
Yeah, thanks, Cam. I go all in on, like, just showing guys, like, first off, how close we are, right? We're driving down there in the game versus the Rams in the fourth quarter. Got an opportunity. Hey, we don't protect the ball. That opportunity is squandered, right? We're here fourth quarter defensively. Like, it's fourth and 10. We got a free player to make a tackle on the quarterback. We got to make the tackle on the quarterback, and the game is over. So we're talking about, that's what the game, that's the NFL, and that's the beauty of it. That's why it's so much coverage. That's why everybody loves it, right? It comes down to those critical moments. And as players, as coaches, you have to embrace those moments. We don't shy away from those moments. We embrace those moments, and you want to be in that moment. You want to be that guy to make that play to help your team win the game, right? And that's what it looks like. So for us, hey, this is what happened. Like, the film doesn't lie. This is what happened. This is what the film says, who we are, what we're doing. Now let's have a sense of urgency to, hey, get those things corrected and press forward. But it's not a ton of things. It's the little things. We talk about technique. We talk about decision-making. We're talking about tackling, right? We talk about all the little things that we control, that we can fix. And I'm excited to see what it looks like moving forward.
Thanks.
More, D'Amico, with it being a short week and having to turn your attention towards a divisional game, just what have your early expectations, what have your early thoughts been on Jacksonville and the new offense underneath Liam Cohen?
Yeah, early thoughts is, man, we're playing pretty much the same offenses that we've seen the first 2 weeks. I know Liam was under McVay there, and he ran the offense in Tampa for the past few years, so we've been watching that offense all last week. So it's pretty similar structure-wise of what they'll do offensively. Now, and honestly, it's really not about them and what they do. It's for us, like, making sure we're just on what we need to be on. But we'll see some of the same things when it comes to the screen game. First and foremost, know it's going to be a high screen game. ETN, one of the best players, you talk about explosive running back, running the ball in the passing game, does a really nice job there. So we got to be aware of the screen game. We know Trevor is an athlete. He can extend plays as well. Also has a really nice arm. He can sling the ball downfield, throw the ball in tight windows. It's got to be got to be on it there, got to account for, you know, there are two receivers, Brian Thomas, one of the really great young receivers in our game, has a really bright future ahead of him. And you throw Travis Hunter in the mix as well, how they're using him. So, again, as every week, we have our hands full. Liam has done a really nice job there turning it around in Jacksonville very quickly. See how the guys are responding. They're playing good defensively as well. They're taking the ball away defensively, which is giving them a chance. And also defensively, I know from their D coordinator, I know we're going to – and what we put on tape, we're going to see, right, a lot of different pressures from these guys on third down. So we got to be dialed into picking up the pressures, making sure we have the right checks, proper communication when it comes to that, because we'll get tested when it comes to the pressures.
Hey, D'Amico, and with it'd be my birthday. It wouldn't be my birthday if I wasn't asking an injury question. Just kidding. do you guys have an update on the progress of Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios? Thank you.
Hey, man, happy birthday, Aaron.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. We expect Christian and Berrios, both guys been doing really well, progressing well in their rehab. So we'll see how it goes throughout the week, but expecting to get those guys back this week.
We've got time for a couple more. We'll do Jonathan, Sarge, and then Landry.
D'Amico, seemed like Jalen Noel really made some plays there at kick return. What did you make of that? And do you anticipate possibly using him more in the passing game as well?
I was very excited and happy for Jalen with the plays that he made, knowing he was capable of doing that. It's just a matter of him going out and, you know, showing it, proving it to everyone else. And, you know, man, he's an electric player, and I expect him to continue to make plays like that for us. It's a collective effort. I thought the guys blocked really well on special teams and gave him the opportunity to make those plays. So, I mean, I expect Jalen to continue to progress as our returner. He's shown that he can do a fantastic job of it. So we're going to continue to lean into that.
Coach, I know that you're the type of coach who doesn't, you know, always like to look over your player's shoulders, don't always like to look over your coach's shoulders. You feel like they know that their job, they know what they're supposed to do. But we're two games in, and some of the same things are being brought up as far as the offense is concerned with Nick Caley that was with Bobby Slowick. How much do you involve yourself into the offense as far as players, personnel, and things like that are concerned?
Yeah, great question, Sarge. Yeah, I'm involved in it all. It all ultimately falls on me, right? So I'm involved with it all. And for our offense, for our defense, I don't want to make it just an offensive thing. It's just, man, we got to play better. Like, we got opportunities to make plays. And they had opportunities to make plays on the other side. They made plays. We didn't make plays, right? As coaches, it's our job to put guys in positions to make the plays, and it's the player's job to go make those plays. It's a collective effort. We're in this together, players and coaches. So it's not just about one person here or there. We're all in this together. It's shared responsibility, shared accountability, and we're going to do everything we can to get it going in the right direction.
Thank you.
Going back to the Noel thing, what are the biggest challenges for rookies like Noel, Marks, and Higgins to earn coaches' trust and perhaps get more reps on offense?
Yeah, for when it comes to getting the reps and earning trust, I mean, those guys, they have our trust, right? They have our trust. All three guys have shown throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, that they can be playmakers for us. So Noel, Woody, and Higgins all have done a really nice job as rookies at stepping in and doing what's asked of them. So, you know, when you do it well, you'll continue to get more opportunities.
We'll close with Will and then Kim.
Meek, what did you see from Nick in week two that you didn't see in week one that you thought maybe was an improvement somewhere specific?
What you said with Chubb?
No, with Caley, Nick Caley.
Oh, okay, with Caley. Well, I thought the improvement from week one to week two is just with the communication and how we got the calls in much quicker. Our guys were able to get out of the huddle. You felt the urgency, like the tempo of our guys in and out of the huddle. Like, we got our calls in. Guys were able to get to the line of scrimmage. We weren't pressing there as the play clock was going down. So I thought Nick did a much better job of just dialing it down a little bit and making sure, hey, we had plays that we can call, we can get executed really well. I thought we did a really nice job of that.
Hey, Coach, one of the things CJ talked about last night, he said clearly that they have to play better, but he also talked about in getting more confidence in the offense. He didn't say he wasn't confident, but he talked about confidence with the offense. How do you address that? So that this, you know, this, that's probably part of it, I guess, because it's new. How do you address that?
Yeah, for me, Cam, I address is, are we doing what we're coached to do? Like, that's what it all boils down to. How do you gain confidence, right? Well, you have to earn confidence, and you earn confidence by doing things well. And when you do things well, you have success. Like, you hit a couple plays here or there, then you're going to get confidence, right? And that's what it's, just continue to stay after it. Don't make it bigger than what it is, right? Let's execute what we're asked to execute, do things how we're coached to do it. And then that confidence will definitely start to pick up.
I think that's all we got. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great
day. Appreciate it.
There you go. D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, talking to the Assemble Media. Real quick before we break here, what was the biggest thing that lingers with you? Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that obviously on a day like today we want to get into.
Not necessarily specifically what he said, but I just have a hunch that the messaging behind the doors, behind closed doors and in that locker room is vastly different from what he was telling us, because he was pretty vague. Pretty much it's all about us. It's the team. Pretty much the same offense we're talking about, the same talking points. I don't think he's going to be telling the offense the same thing with the problems we saw.
Well, he did get a little bit to, are we doing what we're coached to do, which very much feels like, hey, guys, on the lowest level, on the player level, you got to go out and make plays, play mm-hmm. better. That all seems to track. There's a lot of things happening here. They seem to be all, hey, we got to stick together and pull in the same direction. There's a lot there that I imagine we'll still continue to get to here in Loop. Coming up next, though, let's get to our lunchtime confessions. I imagine they might take a little bit of a Texans tinge, but stick with us. We'll do that next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.